This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
You turn to Marketplace for the latest news about what's happening in the economy and how it affects you and your community. When you donate to support our nonprofit newsroom, you can also get something a little more tangible. We have a great lineup of donor thank you gifts right now. A shrinkflation mini tote bag, water bottles, mugs, hats, and a lot more. Contribute any amount to make a difference and pick up one of these gifts. Go to marketplace.org/donate.
More people checked in at the unemployment office last week.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. More people applied for first-time jobless benefits last week. The Labor Department says initial unemployment claims were up by 26,000, but just under 400,000. Some economists say that means the labor market is still in recovery mode. The government also reported the nation's trade deficit has gotten wider. The trade deficit is the discrepancy between how much in goods the U.S. buys from other countries and how much it produces and sells. It buys way more. China today recorded its first trade deficit in almost a year, and at $7.3 billion, it's that country's biggest deficit in 7 years. Does that mean China's super fast growth rate is slowing down? Marketplace China Bureau Chief Rob Schmitz is with us from Shanghai. Hey, Rob.
Hey, Steve.
So the Chinese bought more stuff from outside the country than they sold. That story doesn't sound right.
Yeah, it usually goes the other way around. I mean, China's exports were down considerably last month, and here's something new. This winter, we've seen imports to China rising steadily, and that's proof that Chinese consumers are buying more cars, more gas to fuel those cars, more iPads, more of everything. And that's a good sign for American companies hoping to do more business in China. The flip side of this news for the U.S. is that it's going to be more difficult for politicians in Washington to criticize China for an undervalued currency if China continues to narrow that trade gap with the U.S. But whether or not China will continue to see a trade deficit is still an open question because there's a big caveat. This data was from February, the month of the Lunar New Year.
So, all right, so the holiday is big enough to shift an economic indicator like this?
This one is. The Chinese spent most of February celebrating the New Year, so economists think one of the reasons we didn't see much export activity was because the factories here were empty. Everyone went home, but apparently they had time to shop. But the bottom line is that we'll know a lot more next month when the numbers from March come out.
All right, Marketplace's China Bureau Chief Rob Schmitz from Shanghai. Rob, thanks.
Thanks, Steve.
19 Republican senators in Wisconsin last night voted to pass what is the most contentious state legislation in recent memory. You no doubt have heard the politics of the debate in the Badger State. You might even know some of the names of several state senators from Wisconsin. We're going to leave that to others to talk about. Marketplace's Gregory Warner is here live to talk about the financials of it all. Good morning, Gregory.
Good morning.
Let's follow the money, shall we? What's this going to do to Wisconsin's budget next year?
Well, in order to pass this bill in the way that they did without their Democratic colleagues present, the Republicans had to strip out all the fiscal parts of this bill that would have directly affected the budget. Now, you might say that taking away unions' collective bargaining rights would save money because the government agencies will bargain tougher with unions. But I called Howard Cure. He's director of municipal research at Evercore Wealth Management, and he spent 25 years looking at municipal budgets. He said it could easily swing the other way. Energize the unions to take a bold stand.
I still don't underestimate the power of the public service employee unions. This may be the issue that rallies the voters and the unions further.
He says unions are looking ahead to the elections of 2012 and preparing a throw-the-bums-out message. And Steve, I know you wanted to avoid politics on this one, but it's really hard.
All right. Well, let's go back to the finances then, Gregory, and the country's looming obligations. Does this say anything about how the nation and particularly other states are negotiating with unions about pay and about pensions?
Well, ironically, today is the first day of a historic collective bargaining vote by airport security workers across the country. And that, if that vote succeeds, it'll be a huge boost for federal employee unions. So today is not the end of public sector unionism by a long shot. But at the same time, a lot of governors in a lot of budget-strapped states are looking at Wisconsin very carefully.
All right. Marketplace's Gregory Warner reporting for us this morning. Gregory, thanks.
Thanks.
Let's do the numbers. Global stocks are mostly lower at the moment, anywhere from 0.5% to 1%. European aerospace giant EADS says it swung back to profit last year after its plane maker Airbus saw a pickup in sales. Wall Street yesterday, the Dow was basically flat, losing a point to end the day at 12,213.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Allianz, providing retirement solutions in the U.S. that can help to guarantee income for life. AllianzUSA.com. By CSX, whose trains move a ton of freight nearly 500 miles on 1 gallon of fuel to help reduce fuel consumption. CSX, how tomorrow moves. And by Thomson Reuters, committed to empowering professionals of the world with the knowledge needed to do what they do best. The Knowledge Effect.
Final bids are due today for the Orange County Register newspaper in suburban Los Angeles. The paper and its sister media companies are on the auction block. So if the sad reality is fewer people are buying newspapers these days, are newspaper companies worth buying? Marketplace's Jeff Tyler has that.
Freedom Communications owns the Orange County Register, plus other papers and local TV stations. Private equity firms invested in it a few years ago and got wiped out. This time, it's hedge funds buying up newspaper companies like Freedom that are just emerging from bankruptcy.
None of these are huge investments because they've been able to buy the shares for literally pennies on a dollar in many cases.
That's media consultant Martin Langeveld. I asked him, what does a hedge fund want with newspaper companies?
The pessimistic view is that they simply think that they can multiply their investment a few times by pushing for these kind of corporate consolidations between the different companies that they have holdings in.
The optimistic view, he says, is that the hedge funds will invest in a transition to digital media. But even the traditional newspaper companies bidding on the OC Register would also expect to save money by cutting jobs. I'm Jeff Tyler for Marketplace.
And finally, the Center for Responsive Politics has figured out how much money newly elected members of Congress have. The wealthiest member is Connecticut freshman Senate Democrat Richard Blumenthal, worth an estimated $95 million. On the other end of the spectrum, newly elected Representative Joe Walsh. Not the guitarist from the Eagles, the Republican congressman from Illinois with a net worth of negative $317,498. The Tea Party favorite lost his condo in a foreclosure a couple of years back, but he says he wears the distinction as a badge of honor. Life apparently has been good to him so far. Hit it, Joe. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles, online at marketplace.org and on Twitter at Radio Chio. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
You put in the time and the hard work, and eventually it pays off. That's how the American dream is supposed to work, isn't it?
We've grown up believing that if we work hard and strive for our dreams, they will come true. And I believed that.
I'm Kai Rizdahl. Sometimes things don't go according to plan. That story next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
Hey everyone, it's Rima Khreis, host of This is Uncomfortable. If you're looking for some good recommendations on books to read, well, you should join This is Uncomfortable's Summer Book Club. Every other week in our newsletter, we'll share a new book that'll make you rethink your relationship to money, class, and work, while also featuring an interview with the author or an expert on the topic. Plus, when you join, you'll be entered in a giveaway where you could win some This is Uncomfortable merch. Be sure to check it out. Sign up today at marketplace.org/bookclub.